Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Ashley Barlow Company podcast. I'm Ashley Barlow, your host. If you are a parent, a teacher, or someone who works at a school, or you're a community member, a volunteer, or a staff member at an organization that supports people with special education plans, a coach, a tutor, or even a grandparent, you're in the right place. Sit back with an ice cold glass of lemonade, put on your walking shoes and grab some headphones, roll down the windows and cruise. Ready, set, go. Educate, advocate, collaborate.
Welcome back to another episode of Special Education Advocacy with Ashley Barlow. I'm Ashley Barlow, and I'm so happy you're here. And I'm so happy to be one-on-one with you. It has been a second, friends. We had so many guests in a row as we promoted our conference, and I really hope that you enjoyed hearing from them. I learned so much at this conference. I learned, oh my gosh, so much about new ideas like PDA that Dr. Tay talked about, which is like demand avoidance. And I mean, just so many new topics. I even learned about reading. I just thought it was a really exciting year at our conference. And I loved sharing the people with you here on the podcast. What I do for those interviews is I say, we can talk about anything you want to talk about, but I would prefer to not talk about your conference topic. And I would prefer to not structure it out. Like normally when I have podcast guests, we kind of have like a list of questions that we might follow. And I don't do that for the conference guests. And so I hope that the vibe that you felt was kind of like this kitchen table, two friends chatting vibe over the last month, month and a half. So yeah, now I'm happy to be back with you just one-on-one, you and me talking about special education advocacy. And today I want to talk to you about specially designed instruction. I am speaking on this very topic. In fact, I'm using slides from my presentation, and I'm speaking on this topic at the COPA conference. Actually, I'm recording this on like a week in advance for you all, and I am leaving in just a few, well, like a day, a few hours to go to the COPA conference. COPA is an acronym that stands for Council of Parents, Attorneys, and Advocates. And it is an organization that is kind of like a trade organization, honestly, for attorneys, advocates, and parents in the field of special education advocacy. Their conference is by far my favorite conference of the year. I learned so many strategies and about new concepts and that kind of thing at COPA. But I also just think the networking is outstanding. My COPA lunches and dinners are like my favorite meals of the year. So I'm really excited to be heading out this year and to be sharing, you know, my time at COPA with my friends. So I'm speaking this year for the first time ever, and I'm speaking on specially designed instruction. And I want to share with you a little bit about specially designed instruction. So here's what I have to say, or like what my experience with SDI is. So I'm speaking, I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm speaking with my friend Melissa Waugh, who is an attorney in Virginia. And Melissa came to me, she had submitted to speak on this topic and had even a co-presenter, and her co-presenter backed out. And so she was like, do you want to take over and present with me? And she was like, the only problem is you have to write the white paper, which is like this big 15-page research paper that goes along with the presentation. And I was like, yes, I've always wanted to speak at COPA, and I just have been intimidated by the white paper, but like, sign me up. I'm going to do it. And so I did it. And she said, like, her experience as to why she wanted to present on this topic mirrors experiences that I've had. So both of us have had cases where we've sat in meetings and the people say at the meeting, yeah, you know, they're working on reading or math or executive functioning or whatever it is. And here's their data. And the data kind of stinks. And the parents are saying, we aren't seeing any progress. And so then you say, well, how are you teaching it? Like, what are you using? And they kind of give you a blank stare. And then, like, one time I said, so when you go to teach reading, what, like, are you pulling out a book or are you pulling out, like, things that you bought on Teachers Pay Teachers? Like, what are you pulling out? And the teacher literally looked at me kind of blankly and she said, whatever the district gives me. And this was a child with dyslexia that needed, like, systematic, multi-sensory, explicit, spiraled instruction. And I was like, okay, so what concept are you working on right now? And she had no idea. I mean, the point here is that even for dyslexia, when instruction, you know, when we have so much research to say that instruction should be really, really structured, they aren't doing it. And teachers don't know that they should be doing it and they don't know how to do it. And specially designed instruction, friends, is the heart and soul of special education. Like, what you get in special education, if you get the IEP, is you get special education, and that is specially designed instruction. So it's like, well, then what is specially designed instruction? If you don't know that you should be getting it, like, how do you not know that? And what is it? And so that then became, you know, kind of like the main concept for this topic. And so what Melissa and I did, I'm not going to give you the entire presentation, but I am going to give you enough of, I'm going to give you a couple of slides so that you can answer this question, what is SDI? So there is this awesome book. And the book is called Specially Designed Instruction for Co-Teaching. And the authors are Marilyn Friend and Tammy Viren, two PhD researchers and I think college professors. Marilyn Friend has kind of become like the person on SDI. And Dr. Barron as well. So Dr. Barron works at Western Carolina University, and Marilyn Friend, I'm looking, is, yeah, she is a professor emeritus at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. So these two people wrote this amazing book that kind of goes through like how to co-teach and then how to implement specially designed instruction. And it's super duper good. And so here's the deal is, far too often, teachers are saying, well, we're just taking, the special ed teacher is saying, we're taking what happens in gen ed, and we are basically like tutoring to get the kids to like understand what's happening in gen ed. But they aren't backing up and like making the closet messy and totally backing up and teaching differently and giving instruction that is uniquely tailored to the student. And it's just absurd. So what do we learn from this book? I have a couple of quotes pulled from the book that I think are super helpful and that could help you in your advocacy. So the first thing is, specially designed instruction is not the same as differentiation, which today is considered to be good teaching. You know, like, if you differentiate, great. Like, everybody's supposed to differentiate in that tier one whole group general education environment. So we aren't just differentiating, like, you know, making extension activities for kids that get a concept super quickly and making more explicit instruction or more accessible instruction to kids that aren't getting it as quickly and giving them opportunities for additional practice and stuff. It's not just that. And it is also not on-the-spot help with a larger plan, which is what's happening so often. So, you know, like I said, in our schools here in Kentucky, they're like, well, we just take what happens in gen ed and then we work on it more. Nope, it's not on-the-spot help with a larger plan. It's also not a division of labor between co-teachers resulting in the same instruction to everybody. So it's not like, well, sometimes you get a special ed teacher. And so that equals specially designed instruction. Nope, it's not that. And I do hear that a lot too. Well, I've got a special ed teacher in there. So no, it's not. It's got to be something more than that. And finally, it is not a special education teacher who knows and teaches the content just like a general education teacher. Nope, not that. either. So then what is SDI? If you go back and you look at what the Council for Exceptional Children says, so the CEC, you know, they do conferences everywhere. There's a CEC in every state. They support state boards of ed. So what the CEC says is that SDI is instruction that is tailored to a particular student according to the needs of the student's IEP and encourages access to the general education classroom. So it is tailored to the particular student. Remember how I always say that we have to look at the profile of the student? We have to look at their relative strengths and weaknesses. We have to look at what we're working on. And then we have to tailor that specially designed instruction to them. If they are visual learners, we can't give them instruction that is highly auditory. If they have executive functioning needs, we can't give them instruction that relies on several step instructions. So if we have a child that's really struggling with math, we can't just say, well, here, come out to my house. Come out to my special education classroom, and we're going to do the same problem the same way that you just tried to learn it in your gen ed classroom over and over and over and over again, because that is not tailored to the student. We've got to figure out a way to tailor it to the student with that executive functioning need, with that auditory deficiency or weakness. We've got to tailor it to the child. And it says, according to the unique needs of the student's IEP, what does the IEP say we need to be working on? That's another thing that happens really, really often is I see teachers that just pull kids, and this happens a lot in high school, and they say, well, what do you need help on? Well, you know, I'm on an IEP for dyslexia. You should not be helping me just generally with my science. You should be helping me in a way to give me access to science because I can't read it. So you need to give me those basic reading skills or the phonological processing skills or the reading comprehension skills so that I can access science. So we need to like pull back to widen the lens and to get to the heart and soul of the matter instead of just providing tutoring. And that's the last clause of the CEC's definition. It encourages access to the general education classroom. It isn't just like helping you to understand what's happening there. It's encouraging access to the gen ed curriculum. So I'll read it to you again now that we've broken it apart. The CEC's definition is instruction that is tailored to a particular student according to the unique needs of the student's IEP and encourages access to the general education curriculum. Now, I will tell you that when we started looking at case law on this, we were like, it's not very good. No wonder schools are not providing a ton of SDI in a lot of cases because the case law is not super helpful. So what does that mean? You know, if we go all the way back to the Rowley case said basically they called it personalized instruction. So if you get personalized instruction plus sufficient support services, that is enough for a FAPE, for that free appropriate public education. And then we had the Ender F case back in 2017. Yeah, 2017, right? It wasn't 19. I think it's 17. Look it up. So Andrew F. says, look it up. That just reminded me. Do you follow Kickball Dad on Instagram? If you don't, you need to go follow him. He is like this really confident, hilarious guy who is like super athletic. Like he likes to go play dodgeball and pickleball and kickball. And so they call him Kickball Dad. And his kids take him like to Walmart or whatever. And he just says funny things. And one of the things he always says is like he spouts off a fact and then he'll look at the camera and say, look it up. Anyway, total aside, that was like a squirrel moment. Okay, so Indirev, whenever it was, I think it was 2017, but you can look it up if you need it for your purposes. So the Indirev case says that the IEP itself guides how to meet the unique needs of the child. But, you know, to me, that means that we have to then in the IEP specifically designate what the specially designed instruction is going to be. Andreev also says that we have to integrate the child into the gen ed classroom and also individualize special education that is calculated to achieve advancement from grade to grade. And so, you know, what that looks like is not super duper defined. There is a one last quote that says, instruction services must be provided with an eye toward progress in the general education curriculum. So that is what we get from Andrew F. There are a couple of cases that I think are super helpful. One is in my circuit. I'm in the Sixth Circuit here in Kentucky where I practice law. And there's a case that has given us a lot of good quotes in the last little bit. It's called Knox County Board of Education versus Doe by K.M. K.M. are actually my dad's initials. He's not this person, but like Kurt Meyer, just so that you can look it up if you need to look it up. I don't, what would they call that? Like a telephone operator. What's K? Kappa? I don't know, whatever. And M, do they say mother? M as in mother? I don't know, whatever. It's my dad's initials, Kurt Meyer. Okay, so specially designed instruction is instruction that is, quote unquote, specially designed. Okay, what's that mean? That is, all right, we're getting to the heart of it. That is, they must seek relief about the action of instructing or teaching their child or imparting of knowledge or skill. So SDI basically is the action of instructing or teaching or imparting of knowledge or skill. And then, thank heavens, it says this, the requested teaching also must exceed what is usual or customary and be formed according to an intended plan. Aha, an intended plan. So that's awesome. So once we get an intended plan, and it is beyond what is usual and customary, we're more in the realm of what we think of here in this field as SDI. Now, there are some cases that are not super favorable, but there are more circuits now that are trending towards this idea that special education has to be beyond what is usual and customary and formed according to an intended plan. And the Ninth Circuit, had a case called Hudson versus Pittsburgh Unified that says there's a difference between general education to all students and special education provided to students with disabilities. So we're starting to kind of tease it out, but we aren't getting really, really good information about what that looks like in schools. So what do you do if you have a district that's like, I don't really know, like it isn't specially designed, we're just giving them more? I think I would order Madeline Friend's book. You can get it on Amazon. And I think I would read it and really kind of get into the details of the teaching practice. I'm not sure that the case law is going to help you all that much, but I think it's really important, number one, for parents and advocates to understand the child's profile. And then to make suggestions as to what teaching strategies would work. It might be strategies, it might be specific curricula, but so that you can go in and say, you know, they really struggle with executive functioning, so we cannot do anything with multi-step directions. But rather, here's something that shows them how to break math problems, for example, into multi-step directions and to process the steps and how to remember them. What if we considered doing it this way? I think that's going to be a whole lot more successful than if you get bogged down into this case law mumbo jumbo. So that is my recommendation for how to go about advocating for specially designed instruction. That's a little heavy on like content and information. So I hope I broke it down. That's always my goal here on the podcast, is to break this stuff down for you and to give it to you in little snippets. If you were coming to our presentation at COPA, you would get 75 minutes of this. So be happy that we have done it in 18 plus an introduction. And I hope it's helpful to you. As always, I'm so grateful that you're here. And I would very, very, very much appreciate if you would leave a comment about the podcast. It helps our numbers and our engagement quite a bit if you will just rate the podcast, tap on those 5 stars, of course. And if you would leave a comment on it wherever you listen to your podcast, that would be most appreciated as well. And I will see you next week, same time, same place. Have a great week.